o'clock hour of the show. Means word to listen to the show. Feel free to text us anytime you want at 98973. It's G and Mace, and DB, of course, is on the ones and twos. 8:30, Rachel Bell comes in and to talk about New York pizza. She also was going to come in, and I learned something.
Huh.
I learned something that you guys got to bear with me. Did you know that the taste in pizza and bagels can be different based on the tap water? Oh, DB, of course he knows that. DB, is there anything you don't know, man?
He's a smart man.
Well, my mom's from Philly, and she argues the water is what makes the Philly cheesesteaks the best of the best.
She's not lying. She's not lying.
Okay, let me just tell you. I mean, look, I'm not from there, right? But there's no way I'm this damn old and ain't never heard that.
Really?
I've never heard anybody talk about the water.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
And in no conversations, they bring up the water. All right, we do that at 8:30.
Yeah.
Brother Mace, before you get to the news, what you got?
Yeah, I want to talk about something that's happening Tuesday. We do this twice a year.
Uh-huh.
And by we, I mean Cairo Radio, Seattle Radio Theater, Town Hall Seattle. Felix Bunnell, he's the historian here at the station, and he directs, he even writes these live radio plays.
Uh-huh.
It's super fun. We perform them at Town Hall. We just did a Halloween one, and the Christmas one is coming up. So it's going to be like Dave Ross and Ursula Royteen and Heather Bosch and
you singing?
Sully. Yeah, I'm singing with Dave and Ursula.
What you saying?
We're doing a little pre-show Jingle Bells. But
give us a teaser right now.
Jingle Bells. Actually, rehearsal's tomorrow, so we'll find out.
All right.
But Dave wrote a little version of it. It's going to be fun. Yeah,
okay.
It's going to be a good
right.
time. But if you're interested in that, again, it's Tuesday, December 10th. It's going to be live on Cairo Radio from 8 to 9 p.m. But if you're interested in tickets and all that stuff, you can go to mynorthwest.com/events. It's a really fun time, dude. And the crowds are awesome.
Yeah.
I meet so many people there who are just like, we love you guys. Listen all the time. And it's really great.
Okay. All right.
Fun time.
206 says, what happened to Stacey Joe? Hey, Stacey Joe comes on at 9:30.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
We got the push. We had to do some pushing.
Yeah. What do you got, bro?
I want to talk about really, like, this might be the one thing that all of us in America can agree on.
What's that?
We're sick of not agreeing on anything.
Oh. All right. Before you tell us that.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask
uh-huh.
our family. 98973. If you are sick of disagreeing on things as a country, text in, let us know. Because I think some people like disagreeing.
Yeah, people like arguing, but the idea here is there was a poll that was put out. It was USA Today, Public Agenda is this group, Ipsos. What do you call that? Bipartisan or nonpartisan
uh-huh.
research group, Kettering uh-huh. Foundation, Charles Koch Foundation, Rockefeller Brothers Fund, like all these guys
uh-huh.
put money into this to try and survey some folks. How do you feel about how things are going? And when you survey a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
very rarely do you get like 9 out of 10 agree, right? And overwhelmingly, more than 9 out of 10 people said that it's important for the United States to try and reduce this divisiveness. This national leaders and social media and news leaders have all exacerbated these problems, mm-hmm. and it's, you know, to their benefit because they're making money off of us being all ramped up and all angry and all wanting to fight each other. But it's hurting ordinary people, regular people like you and me. So if you're interested, I have some stats. They broke down like the divisions and what people thought. And they even asked people as Democrats and as Republicans.
Okay. Well, I like stats. I was thinking if I should write down these stats. But no, I'm going to listen to the stats. Let's go ahead.
Listen to the stats.
Hit us with them. Go ahead.
Yes, yes. So both Republican and Democrats estimated that just over half of people in the other party,
mm-hmm.
right, were so, quote, so extreme you can't imagine finding common ground with them. But this is kind of surprising. Democrats and Republicans each said that more than a quarter of the people in their own party were so extreme that they couldn't imagine finding common ground with them. So there's just more of us who are tired of all the extremism and all the just digging your heels in and not knowing how to talk to each other. And that's sort of the big point that we hit here on Cairo Nights all the time, and that really came out of this survey is they, and I'm not gonna bore you with a bunch of stuff, but they talk about how we don't even know how to discuss things with each other anymore.
Right.
How are we supposed to get anything done? Look at Washington D.C. What have they done in the last couple years? Mm-hmm. Like, and I mean, I'm not just talking about the Trump administration. I'm talking about the last bunch of years that folks just they can't even get anything done because they're just fighting all the time. And so most people are sick of it. I do have a question for you, G. 4 out of 10 Republicans and almost half of Democrats said they would be tempted to vote for the opposing party's nominee if he or she had the best shot at unifying the country. Would you?
Before, I didn't even know you was going to talk about this topic. Earlier today, to share a conversation that I said, I am tired of the divisiveness because I had made the comment. This was because Joe Biden had the voter that was there, and the voter basically was saying that Joe Biden was lying.
Yeah, Joe Biden freaked out at an 83-year-old guy at a town hall.
And
today,
Joe Biden freaked out and called the 83-year-old voter, quote, "You're a damn liar." Now, in my opinion, I don't care what your politics are. If you are trying to be, this is what I, if you're trying to be the president of the United States, I don't think that that is the language you should be using. And I don't like Joe Biden for that moment. That's not cool. So you ask me, would I vote for a unifier? Yes. If I don't care what party he is. Wait a minute. I voted for George Bush both times.
I did too.
Let's not get it twisted.
Yeah.
I voted for George Bush both times. I don't give a you know what about party. I vote for the best person that I think should do the job. And so the next president that I'm going to vote for is going to be that person. So I think that is uplifting to hear that 4 out of 10 would vote for the opposite party if it meant unifying our country.
Yeah, that's what people want. Overwhelmingly, that's what people want. So a little bit of good news. I mean, good and bad. Bad that we're in the situation we're in, but good that folks are sick of it. We're talking about it.
I'll say this. You and I, we've been doing this show, I can't count,
seven, eight months maybe.
And the emails that we get, the text messages that we get, I'm going to tell you, the coolest thing about this show, right, is that people that listen to our show come from all different walks of life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for an example, look, let me just say this. I'm not a President Trump fan. Not because of not necessarily his politics, because of the person. That's just me,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But if you are a President Trump fan, and if you like President Trump, I don't want you not to be a Cairo Knight listener.
Right.
You see where I just went with that?
Yeah.
Like, just because you like President Trump, I'm not going to hate you,
right,
ma'am,
right,
sir.
Right.
I still want you to be a part of the show.
And I'm not going to react with, like, what are you, an idiot? You know, which I get from a lot of people. Like, you start talking about something like, how about this impeachment? You're like, well, yeah, this and that. And they're like, what are you, an idiot? Like, right. No, guys, we stop it. Let's dial it down.
Right.
Can we do that?
Right. I'll end with this one thing. And I hear people do it. And DB, this is one of those things that I'm going to help you guys, some of you, stay away from those situations and or debates or arguments. When you start to generalize, that's where you're going to get in trouble. So what does that sound like? Well, you know, those folks on the right, you're going to get yourself in trouble.
Yep.
Those folks on the left, you're going to get yourself in trouble.
Yep.
Those folks, because the truth of the matter is there are folks on the right that are some cool people.
Yes.
There are some folks on the right. There are some weirdos.
Yes.
Now, Lord have mercy. Let me go on the left. There are some folks on the left. There are some good people.
Uh-huh.
And boy, there's some folks on the left that are some weirdos.
Yeah.
Did you see how I just did that? At
yes.
the end of the day, people are just people, and it's weirdos and good people on all sides.
Yes. 253 texted in. Disagreements are fine. It's all the defiant anger that your side is the only correct one that bothers me. And that's a perfectly valid point.
That's a very good point.
You don't know what other people have been through, what their life looks like to them,
yeah.
what their experience is in life. And there are a lot of factors that make things, you know, maybe seem weird to you, but is totally normal to someone else. You know, there's a guy, I think this is Ram Dass. There's this guy, he's like a thinker, philosopher kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about trees and looking at people like trees. And he goes, you go out into the woods and there's, you know, a bunch of beautiful trees. And we have a ton of them here in the Northwest.
Uh-huh.
And then there are some that are a little bit funky. Maybe sunlight didn't hit it right and it grew kind of weird. Maybe it didn't get the water it needed. And it just sort of, it gets twisty and all kind of weird and cool. Now, do we look at that tree and go like, that's a bad tree? I don't like that tree. Like, no, you appreciate it for what it is. All of its twists and turns. It got to be the way it is
right.
because of the life that it had, the situation that it was, you know, born into, so to speak. And people are the same way.
Yeah.
You just have to, you have to put the fists down, everybody.
Yeah.
Can't we all just get along?
Oh, no. Okay, wait a minute.
Come on. It's been long enough.
Listen, man, every time you guys do that, by the way, somebody just texts in and said, 253 says, I'm a Trump fan and a G fan.
Yeah.
Can't we all get along?
Yeah, see?
May he rest in peace, Rodney King. But, man, when he did that on TV, that was something. Okay. Here's something. I got one for you. Let me break it down a little bit.
Sure.
I think that some of the folks that maybe listen to Cairo Radio, whether it's certain times of the day. You guys know. You guys know better than we know. You know the times that if you want your bubble and you want to listen to someone that when they speak, there's usually a lot of the things you agree with.
Yeah.
You know the times to listen to Cairo Radio.
Sure.
Fair?
Sure. Basically any media.
Any media.
Yeah.
I actually think, and I have respect for people who are able to step outside of their comfort level
mm-hmm.
and listen to something that might make them uncomfortable.
Yes.
Like, I think you have a lot of courage. Let me tell you where I'm going with this. I think you have more courage than me. If I did not do Cairo Nights, if I did not be a talk radio host, I don't think I would be as open-minded as I am right now. I think I would fall victim to circles, right?
Yep.
Because it's real easy to do.
Yes.
You go to work. You go to the same. You go to your job. You mm-hmm. go to the grocery
your
store.
Your church.
Your family.
Whatever.
You got the same people that you talk to on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And so truth of the matter is your circle is small.
Yeah.
Well, Mace, we're blessed every night, man. We got a lot of Cairo Knight family members that text us. Some love us.
Mm-hmm.
Some can't stand us.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes when they text us, they'll say something, and I'll read it, and I'll be like, I don't agree with that. But there's sometimes where I'll read something on a Monday where I don't agree with mm-hmm. it, and 2 Mondays from now, I think about what that person texts, and I'm like, oh, so I'm better for that.
Yeah.
So my point is for people who, even the folks that listen to our show, and they might say, God, you guys are terrible. I can't stand listening to you. But you stay listening, and I think that you are a better person because of it.
Yes, absolutely. Because it helps you understand that we are on the same team, right? We have this idea that we're broken up into, you know, the left and the right. Democrats and Republicans, at
sure.
least when it comes to politics. And that, yeah. for some reason, politics has become everything these days, which we need to dial down on that, too. But we have this idea, this idea we've been sold, that those are the divisions, that those are the teams.
Right.
And it's not. You see, with race, with what country are you from, with all that kind of stuff, it's not about that. And you go, well, then who is sowing this division? Who is telling us this stuff? Why is this the narrative? Why is this the story? And when I think when you start to do that, then you realize, oh, no, there are some bad actors out there. There are some bad people out there that have a lot of control over how a lot of things go. And boy, howdy, do they not want to let go of that. And so they have us all turning against each other, fighting each other over these things that aren't really big divisions. They're just opinions. It's the way you see the world. Cool. As long as you're not a jerk, I have no problem with you.
You know how I know that the United States, when things get real, I mean, when they get really, really real, and I know how the United States responds when things get really, really real. And you want to know the last time, DB Mace, that things got really real?
Can I guess?
Go ahead, let me hear it.
9/11.
9/11. September 12th, 2001? Oh, it was real.
Dude.
Yeah, the way we talked to each other?
Yes.
The way we walked around each other?
Yes.
During that time?
Eye contact.
Oh,
I'm here for you.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
It got real.
Yep. So let's figure out how to do that without a horrible catastrophe having to happen first. That's, to me, the goal, right? You see it in alien invasion movies. The aliens come down. They want to destroy Earth. All Earth gets together. You know what? Screw these borders that we've put up. Screw these ideas that we're fighting over. We're on the same team. Let's go after the bad guy. And so my dream is that I really hope we can just sort of live out that good stuff without having to go through all of that bad stuff.
You said something, and we're getting ready to get out of this segment. And of course, Rachel Bell is going to come in. But can you answer this in 45 seconds? Because you said the bad guy. What does the bad guy look like? You see, okay, you don't even have to answer it. Like, just remember, the bad guy doesn't look like anything.
No, that was my answer.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a guy.
Is that right?
It's an idea.
Absolutely.
It's yeah.
Yeah. Let's get on out of here, everybody. Coming up next, Rachel Bell comes in to talk about pizza. And DP knew it, but I didn't know it. Somebody texted in and said, yeah, there's somebody here that owns a bagel place, and they got their own filtered water. They bring the water in. There's a difference between the type of water to make your bagels and your pizza, and Lord knows I didn't know it. Carol Knights, everybody. GMS. Thank you for being a friend, especially during this time at 8:30 every single night. You listen to the Carol Knights. It's G and Mace. Hey, Rachel Bell.
Hi there.
Thank you for coming in to see us. We love your presence.
I love your presence, too.
It's always like you come to bring us presents.
Is it like that?
Yeah.
Is it? Oh, just a metaphorical present? It's so cute.
What do you Homonyms.
Got? What do you
Homonyms.
Got? What do you got for us today?
All right, so I have a brand new podcast episode out. If you didn't know, my podcast is called Your Last Meal, and I interview celebrities about what they would choose to eat for their last meal. So my latest guest is Alison Roman. She's a cookbook author. She's a food columnist for Bon Appetit in the New York Times. And if you're someone who is into food on Instagram, you probably know who she is. She's pretty famous online for two recipes, one that's called The Cookie, and one that's called The Stew, because people like these things so much, they decided that's the name of them. But for her last meal, she wants a slice of New York pizza. So what I do on the podcast is I look into either the science, the culture, the history of that food. And pizza is just like such a big topic. I was thinking, like, what can I do with this? And I thought about my mom, who grew up in Brooklyn, who every time you go to New York, she's like, the reason the pizza is so good is because of the water. And everybody says this. They say it about bagels yes. and pizza. I've heard people say this my entire life. So I was looking around and I found this guy who owns a company called New York Water Maker. And what they do is they take the tap water from any city where you live and they put it through their filtration system and it comes out like New York City tap water.
Crazy.
And he said that it is in the water, that New York has one of the best water systems in the country. And it's not just that it's clean or that it tastes good. It's because the compounds in the water, you know, the fact that it's soft water, not hard, the amount of chlorine, the pH balance, all of this stuff is perfect for making bread, bagels, and pizza crust, which I just was shocked by because I thought that this whole it's in the water thing was just something that old people said when they were kvetching.
Yeah, me too. And before we get into New York versus Chicago style pizza, G, which I plan on getting to, have you heard that? I mean, do people say that about Chicago stuff? Because in Philly, they say you can't get the right cheesesteak anywhere else in the country because you need the certain kind of bread, and it's all about the water.
So I have not heard the water. The reason for the pizzas being so good in Chicago, the ovens.
Mm. Oh.
The old school ovens that are particular to Chicago that are there. That is the reason why you can't duplicate Chicago's pizza. You can't come out here to Seattle and have that. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm interested. There's a place in Seattle that does Chicago style pizza that people are nuts over. It's called Windy City Pie. So I want you to go and try their pizza and see what you think. I'm curious to see. So I'm going to play a cut from Paul, who is the owner, Paul Arrigo from New York Watermaker.
It makes it a lot crispier and crunchier, which doesn't happen when you have hard water or water that has a high TDS, which is total dissolved solids, which is, you know, just the solids that are in the water. It's the chlorine levels. It's the pH levels. New York City has a pH level that is pretty much consistently neutral, which is 7.0. All these different things change, but not so much the flavor. It's more of the texture of the way the dough is going to react, the fermentation time of the dough.
So there are about 30 cities in America that are using his filtration system. And one of these guys, his name is Tony. He owns three pizza places in New York. So he goes out to California to try to open a spot in LA, and they just can't get it right. And he can't figure out why. He goes to a pizza expo in Las Vegas, sees Paul's machine, ends up buying it, and says,
there is no difference. I mean, we're using just about the same pH level water, mineral content. It's the same water for all intents and purposes. So I've had clients who live in New York move to LA and vice versa, and were astounded by the fact that they're tasting the same quality product that I had in New York or LA and back and forth. And, you know, their response is, finally, we found something that's akin to New York pizza.
So if you want to hear the whole story, listen to the podcast at yourlastmealpodcast.com or wherever you listen. But there's, of course, like an emotional, you know, like there's an emotional feeling that comes with food. And so when you leave your home, like you're from Chicago, I'm from the Bay Area, Aaron's from New Jersey, there are things that you miss. There are foods that you miss, and they become fabled and they become bigger than themselves. And you put them up on this pedestal, and bagels and pizza are definitely one of those things for East Coasters who go to other places in the country.
My experience with water really didn't take place until I moved here to Seattle. I had no idea. Like, to me, water was water was water.
Right.
Like, air was air was air. There's no difference, right? There's really no big difference. But when you live in Seattle for a certain amount of time, there's two things that you walk away with. Good water and fresh air. And when you go other places, you could be on a very nice vacation, and you're like, hold up, I spent all this damn money, and my water's bad? I spent all this money and I can't breathe?
Yeah.
What is going on? So I had never heard how water can affect the taste of pizza, but I believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes so much sense because he was saying, you know, people spend all kinds of money trying to get the best ingredients, like the best cheese, the best tomatoes, all of this. And then they just turn the tap water on and they don't even think twice about it. And I think that's how we are in our culture as a whole. We don't really pay attention to natural things as much as we pay attention to man-made things. And we just kind of like take it as it comes. Like, yeah, I'll breathe in this air. Like you said, I'll drink this water. Yeah. But I'm going to go, you know, buy a bunch of expensive stuff that is made out of a bunch of chemicals.
It's little things with recipes and sort of. Someone overheard me talking about macaroni and cheese before Thanksgiving. And what I had said was, is like, hey, make sure that you're not just using store-bought shredded cheese because it has stuff on there to keep for a while.
We talk about make that in this episode too.
Make sure you shred your own cheese. And I had someone hit me up and they were like, oh my God, what a difference to their macaroni and cheese. It's little bitty things that you have to do to add to your recipe.
It's true. And especially with something like pizza, you're tasting just like these few ingredients. Right. And so you want everything to taste really, really good. Yeah. I am so annoyed that nobody in our state is using this water system because I want to try one of these pizzas.
Me too.
There's a lot in Florida and California because that's where a lot of East Coast people go. Mm-hmm. And then like Ohio and Georgia and Texas.
Can I ask you guys a question? I've been in New York before, but I've never had a bagel there. So here's my question.
That's illegal.
So here's my question. Is a New York bagel?
Yes.
Really?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
Really?
Yeah. It's everything it's hyped to be.
Really?
It's very different. Like Rachel said, there's something about that water that specifically makes baked bread things good and better. Like this guy scientifically proved it.
I don't want to say too much because the next episode of my podcast is going to be a bagel episode. And ooh, so we'll get into that. But I will say one thing. Mm. If you go get your bagel at a grocery store, especially if you buy it on a shelf, like in a bag, that is not how bagels are traditionally made. Bagels are boiled mm-hmm. and then baked. And that's how they get like that crisp layer that you kind of bite through before you get to the chewy part. All those bagels that are just super soft, they're just bread with a hole in the middle. Those aren't classic bagels. Mm-hmm. So that is what most Americans eat. So they don't know from bagel.
Jeez. Thank you. That's what I just had this morning with avocado.
You don't know from bagel. It's fine.
That sounds like your new spinoff series.
Thanks, Rachel Bell.
Thank you. I'm not trying to bagel shame you.
I know. You can do your puns. You can pun your way out of here.
Whatever people like, they like. Doesn't mean it's real.
That's Rachel Bell, everybody. Make sure you go and check out that podcast. I'm kind of interested, especially when this new one comes out with bagels.
Bagels.
Hey, coming up next is time for Wheel of Segments, Kyra Knights, G and Mace.
Welcome back into Kyra Knights, everybody. G and Mace. Frank Shires, of course, DB. On the ones and twos. Happy Thursday. Is it Thursday?
It's Friday Eve, Mace. get it together.
I got you calling it Friday Eve. Consider that a success. Thank you very much. It's time to spin the wheel segments. See what we're going to land on tonight. I'm hoping it's holiday themed. Big, big winner here. Okay. All right. Ooh, okay. Question of the day.
Uh-huh.
And this question has three potential answers.
Okay.
Okay.
It's about Christmas trees.
Yeah.
Okay.
And how you guys do at your place. Is it real, fake, or none?
Oh, okay.
98973.
Are we just reporting in what our choice is, or are we advocating for a position here?
Well, you can do both. I need to know what you got going on.
Yeah.
And then if that is different. Yeah. Or you feel like, if you feel compelled to pull people over to your side, okay. Please do so.
All right. Here's why fake is the best. Because when the tree goes up at the beginning of December, the same sparkle and the same freshness of that fake tree is still the same at the end of March when I take it down. Just kidding. Excuse me. At the end of December. So, Frank is going to tell you how real is the best, but it's not my fault that stuff is stale and stanking by the time it's time to go. Okay, I say fake. 2425 agrees with me. Fake. So easy.
So easy.
What do you say, guess? Frank?
I've spent the last 4 days keeping a fresh Norwood fir tree in a bucket of water, getting ready to put it up in the house this weekend. I have had like one fake tree in my life, which was last year, reluctantly. Just let's not get into it. Our main tree has always been a live tree, a cut down live tree.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. You know, yes, I understand the whole convenience thing. Yes, I understand all that stuff about the fake tree. I'm sorry. I'll take the smell of that Norwood fir in our living room and in our house on day one or day 21 over the smell of that plastic tree any day.
First of all, like Joe Biden said, you're a damn liar.
That's a bunch of malarkey.
Did I tell you about corn pop?
Oh, no, really? Would you like to rub my leg?
Wait a minute. Hold on.
What?
Joe Biden, you have said way too much stuff.
Yeah.
We could do an entire show
on
dumb stuff that Joe Biden says.
By the way, Joe, get out of my lap.
Oh, okay. Let's go to the adult in the room, please.
Okay.
DB.
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 Back to trees, I guess, although this Biden stuff is so fun. My girlfriend and I currently have a real tree, but it is very, very small. It's so small that when we took it off the lot, we went to a lot down in Ballard, and when we took it off the lot, I could carry it from the stem in one hand as if it were like a torch or something, which it's a beautiful little teeny miniature tree. It's lovely. We love the smell. My hand got all sappy, but that was great. We put lights on it. We put this great star that like projects these weird trippy lights onto the ceiling. It's just great to have that real tree, the real tree smell. That being said, I think ideally you have the big tree in your home as the like statement piece. That's the real tree. And then you have a fake tree that you keep in a sitting room or something that you can have in storage, and then you can take it out and do all the fun stuff with that as well. But I think you need at minimum one real tree.
I actually do have a little miniature fake tree. You know what I put on it? G?
What?
Star Trek ornaments.
Yeah, a little theme tree.
Yes.
That's true. Also, DB living in mansions with sitting rooms. That's pretty impressive. I like that.
No, definitely not. But I said ideally. There's no way that actually happens.
Good call.
Mace?
Well, let me check in on the text line here. Because we got a lot going on. 360 has to be real. 425, fake only needs storage. Real, you kill, then water, then discard. 253, real trees are the only way to go and get it locally to support local businesses. 206 talks about getting a tree tag from the National Forest Service.
That's
and,
cool.
And going out and finding a real, real tree. Nothing better, they say. I did that one year.
Yeah.
I waited too long, and so my tree had a little Charlie Brown vibe
Charlie
to
Brown
it.
Yeah, Charlie Brown tree.
But what are you going to do?
There's a lot of people that don't smell anything on Christmas Day because that tree is...
that's it. You're allergic. That's what's going on.
No, that's your tree coughing because it's so thirsty.
Oh, I see.
Hey, I know you guys are opening up gifts. Get your boy some water.
So I'm going to go fake tree.
Oh.
And I'm going to say, for all the obvious reasons, storage, you only have to buy one and then you have it for a long, long time. The thing that is missing from a fake tree is the smell. And here's a benefit of our gig economy, is that there are a lot of like small batch, high quality candle makers out there. You can find them online, spend a couple bucks on a dope smelling, you know, spruce or fir candle. You light that baby, the fake tree looks good enough, you're going to fool people, even yourself.
That's because Mace has a chandelier in his bedroom with lights around it, and he swings around it late at night, and he has a fake Christmas tree with Star Trek all over it, and he has Star Trek drawers that he wears all through the night.
Drawers? You got Star Trek drawers? Where'd you get those?
Frank, G is starting stories about me today.
This show has gone off the rails.
No, it hasn't. It's excellent. It's excellent.
Hey, coming up next. Yeah, you're right, DB. It's off the rails. Tom Tangney comes in next to talk about movies and about who cheats more, men or women. Kyra Knights, G and Mace.